I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The situation at the crippled nuclear power plant in Fukushima, Japan, continues to be highly volatile. Four reactors at the tsunami-damaged plant are now in trouble, and plant managers have reportedly said they're concerned about the site's two other reactors as well. And for the first time on Tuesday, the Japanese government said that radiation levels outside the plant present a danger to humans. Joining us again with some of the latest is The World's environment editor, Peter Thompson. Peter, this story has been changing constantly. 4 days now after the earthquake and tsunami, how much certainty do we have about what's happened and what is happening at the Fukushima plant?
Well, as you said, Marco, it is a very volatile situation and very opaque. Dependable information is very hard to come by. We do know that there have been three explosions at this plant, at three of the six reactors there, and one fire. Two of the explosions were relatively minor. One was perhaps considerably more serious and may well have damaged the reactor core of one of the units. We also have a fire today at Unit 4, which everybody thought was okay. Unit 4 was one of the three reactors that were offline at the time of the tsunami. That fire apparently was in the area where the spent fuel rods are kept, and that could be potentially extremely important because there's still a lot of very radioactive material in there, and if that's exposed, that can release some very bad stuff, and that may also have happened. We also know that workers have been evacuated. 800 workers, roughly, have been evacuated, and there's just a core of several dozen people left who are doing the real critical work. We know that there's a no-fly zone over the reactors to prevent airplanes from transporting more radiation out of the area. And we know that they're talking about pouring in more water from helicopters because the pumping from the ocean has not been sufficient.
We heard earlier in the program about some of the health risks from this disaster and the radiation, but tell us where the radiation is actually coming from in the first place.
Well, several different sources. One is radioactive steam, and there are potentially several sources of that. Some of those are relatively low level in terms of the radiation that comes from that, low level and short-lived. Others are potentially higher level and longer-lived, including radioactive iodine and cesium, which pose pretty severe health problems in the medium to long term. Where it's coming from, some of it is coming from the containment vessel around the reactor. It's coming from steam that is water that's used to cool the reactor. But if there's been a breach of the reactor, then we could be getting radiation from the reactor itself. That's where some of those fission compounds do come, where the uranium fuel breaks down into these other highly radioactive isotopes. Some of it could be coming from the fire in the spent fuel cooling tank as well.
How does this nuclear plant in Fukushima and its reactors compare with other plants around the world in terms of safety features and how up-to-date the technology is?
Well, they're pretty old plants. I think they were built in the early 70s, but they were actually extremely well-built. It was not the earthquake that knocked these out, but it was the tsunami that really overwhelmed their backup systems. It was when the power supply went out and the cooling water couldn't flow anymore that the trouble began. That was not the earthquake. That was the tsunami. They were actually prepared for a lower-level tsunami, but they were not prepared for a tsunami of this magnitude. Newer designs are better, stronger, more isolated from impact, but not immune. And one bottom line, so far as I know anyway, every nuclear reactor on the planet and everyone that's planned needs a constant source of power and coolant to keep it under control in the case of any kind of interruption of its own process. So you have to be able to protect electricity and water to keep things under control, even after it's been shut down. That, I don't think, is something that any nuclear plant can do without. Having said that, the risks of those being shut off, you know, are much less in many places, and there can be multiple redundancies. But as we've seen, you know, even 2-3 layers of redundancy don't always work.
Peter, there are mixed reports of concern, not real panic yet, but there are deep public concerns in Japan. How worried should the people of Japan be right now, and should the rest of us worry?
Frankly, I think that people are probably a little bit more worried now than they need to be. I mean, in fact, some of the post-mortem science from Chernobyl shows that the health effects, in many respects, were less than had been expected at the time in terms of number of deaths, number of cancers. Having said that, there are real impacts, and cancer isn't the only thing that you need to worry about. The Union of Concerned Scientists today, which is the an advocacy group here in the United States, expressed what it said as a real concern that a plume from the plant could reach Tokyo. That does not mean that it's going to be deadly radiation, but it does mean that there is a level of concern that is justified.
The World's environment editor, Peter Thompson, thank you.
Thanks, Marco.